Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, and welcome to Vulgar History. My name is Anne Foster, and this is a pandemic super special episode, which is like a mini episode where I'm just kind of telling some stories about people in other times and eras who were faced with other sorts of pandemic type events and the weird things that happened to them. That's what this is. So today, content warning, pandemics. If you don't want to hear about that, then you might want to skip to a different episode of this podcast. That being said, this week's pandemic is sort of an influenza pandemic, but I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of the symptoms that this person suffered. It's more just the circumstances of how he died and how it's just like, it's a pretty goofy story. I think even if you're like sensitive to medical type things, I don't think you should be bothered. But, content warning, I will be mentioning influenza and someone dying of it in this podcast. So cast your minds back to 16th century France. Oh, and I'm going to mention as well, my sources for this story are a book called Francis the First, The Maker of Modern France by Leonie Frieda, and also Wikipedia. And I also got a bit of content from a book called The Rival Queens by Nancy Goldstone. So The Rival Queens is a story about Catherine de' Medici, her daughter Marguerite de Valois, and the betrayal that ignited a kingdom. And it really super quickly passes over this weird story I'm going to tell you. But for some context for me, it was helpful just to kind of remember, because I just research women in history. So when it's like a bunch of men, I need to like orient myself by seeing like what women were around when. And that's going to be how I'm going to explain part of this to you as well. But that's a really great book. It's a really great book. The Rival Queens by Nancy Goldstone. Super recommend. Anyway, and Wikipedia. Did I mention that? There's some details that I found there that were not in either book. So what we're dealing with here is France, 16th century. So the king is Francis the First. His wife is named Claude of France. And we're living in a patriarchal primogeniture type situation. So the whole succession planning for him is it's going to go to his oldest son, and then if God forbids, and it comes to the oldest son, then it goes to the second son, and then God forbid, then it goes to the third son, even though there are some sisters in here as well. So the oldest son, this is sort of the story of three brothers, one of whom is just exercises poor judgment. That's what this story is. So the oldest son is named Francis, and so he was born February 28th, 1518. So Francis, the king, so his son, Francis Jr. So the king said of his son at birth, he is a beautiful dauphin. And dauphin is the word for French people in France for the heir to the throne. Like in England, it's like the Prince of Wales scenario. So Francis said of his son, also called Francis, he is a beautiful dauphin who is the most beautiful and strong child one can imagine and who will be the easiest to bring up. Baby Francis's mother, Claude, said, tell the king that this child is even more beautiful than himself. So Francis, the oldest son, gorgeous. Leonardo da Vinci was around at this time. He designed the decorations for the christening of the Dauphin. And so spoiler, Francis Jr. is not going to live a long life. It's not plague related. It's weirder than that. So just to also orient everybody, if you're coming to learn about this history, like I did via the late and lamented and wonderful CW show Rain, which I think would be great binge watching for if you're self-isolating at home right now, because it's a bonkers show and every episode is great. Anyway, so the king in that at the beginning is King Henry, who is actually the second of these three brothers. So those characters are going to be tangentially involved in this story as well. So Henry was born 1 year later, almost exactly 1 year later than Francis. So Francis is the older brother. Henry's the second brother. He was born March 31st, 1519. And which frankly, just based on the birth dates of these brothers, you can sort of see the fertility cycle of Claude of France. They're all born in between January, February, and March, successive years. Anyway, so there's two brothers. There's Francis and there's Henry. They're 1 year apart from each other. So, and they, as children, were sent to Spain to be hostages. So what happened is that their father was badly defeated and captured in 1525 in a battle in Spain and became a prisoner of Charles V, who was the Holy Roman Emperor at the time. In order to ensure his release, the king signed the Treaty of Madrid, but to ensure that the king abided by the treaty, Charles demanded, he said, like, okay, I'll let you go, but I'm going to have to do like a prisoner exchange. So the king was allowed to go back to France, but in exchange, Charles demanded that the king's two older sons take his place as hostages. So like a little switcheroo. So they were keeping the children there to ensure that Francis would be true to his word. I guess implicit in that is like, or else we'll kill your sons, I guess. So this happened in 1526. By then, so it's his two oldest sons. You'd be like, oh my God, why, you know, who's going to inherit if something happens to them in prison in Spain? But don't worry, because there's a third son, who is Charles, who was born on January 22nd, 1522. So Henry and Francis are, let me just do some quick brain math. They're 8 and 6 years old, while Charles is like 4. So the two older sons were sent over. So this exchange took place between Spain and France. And what happened is that, so the whole point of this treaty was that it was, or this taking the sons as hostages was to make sure that the king would still abide by the treaty to like not attack Spain, etc. But the king almost immediately went against the treaty. So that angered Charles, obviously. Charles the Holy Roman Emperor. And so the 8-year-old Dauphin and his younger brother spent the next 3 years as captives of Charles V, a period that, according to Wikipedia, scarred them for life. As well you might think it would. So it's not like in some of these other stories where it's like royal people were sent to prison and, but it was actually just sort of like a castle and they could just sort of hang out and whatever. Like they were like literally kept in isolation, treated like increasingly badly because they were there to make, so their father would not attack Spain, but the father kept attacking Spain. So the two boys were treated worse and worse. So, so after this, apparently the Dauphin, Francis, the older brother, he became, he was very serious. He was known to keep to himself and he preferred to dress in black, like the Spanish did. So that was maybe based on having spent those years there. He also became bookish, preferring reading to being a soldier. So, and then also Henry came back and apparently he was like not super social or friendly. He was like prone to fits of rage, sort of like Harry Potter in those middle books of the Harry Potter series. And apparently the king was like, what is with these sons? Like, especially Henry, he found it really off-putting. Like, why is this boy so upset all the time? Like, yes. So he was sent off to live in isolation in jail and not be fed or treated well for 3 years. But like, he's back now. It's like, what's the deal? So he wasn't super impressed by that. And so because of this, so Francis and Henry came back, changed, and the king sort of came to prefer his youngest son, Charles, who was not, did not spend time in a dungeon and was much more pleasant, which makes lots of psychological sense. So the Dauphin, Francis, the whole thing was like, who's he going to marry? Because he's going to be the next king, etc. Henry was married off to an Italian woman named Catherine de' Medici, who I am 10,000% going to do a podcast about later on. And they were trying to figure out who are they going to marry the oldest son, Francis, to, because Catherine de' Medici was sort of like not a great match at the time, because she like, it was sort of like France and Italy got along, but then they didn't. And so it's kind of like, it's not the best marriage. Like they sort of got Henry to marry Catherine de' Medici because they just like didn't care about him very much and wanted to marry him to whoever. Anyway, so the Dauphin, Francis, was briefly engaged to Mary, who later became Mary the First, Henry the Eighth's daughter. This was when he was an infant. They were briefly engaged, but then this didn't work out. But anyway, what happened after all of this? So Francis, the Dauphin, was just like, whatever, being a serious guy who liked to wear black, dealing with some untreated PTSD type issues. And then one day he died. He died at the age of 18 on August 10th, 1536. Some people believe he was poisoned just because the circumstances of his death were just like weird. Although it was probably tuberculosis, partially because he had never fully recovered his health from the years spent in the damp cells in prison, where he spent three formative years of his childhood. So what happened is that Francis was playing tennis, and then he asked for a cup of water, and his private secretary, Count Montecuccioli, brought him a cup of water. He drank the water and then collapsed and then died several days later. So there were some thoughts that, like, did he poison him? Was the water poison? Like, already everybody was like, ooh, Catherine de' Medici is on the scene. Like, she became known for being a fan of poison, but also Italian people were just sort of assumed to be always poisoning everybody all the time. So it's sort of like, did she do this because she wanted her husband Henry to be king instead of Francis? Apparently they found a book about poisons in her room, but that's just like her hobby. Anyway, under torture, Montecuccioli confessed to having poisoned Francis, even though he almost definitely died of tuberculosis. Like, the whole thing where it's like he asked for a cup of water after playing tennis and then collapsed. It's like, well, he probably felt badly. That's why he asked for the water. So it's not like the water made him collapse. That's my CSI type evaluation. So his death was a catastrophic blow to everybody, because the king was obviously devastated to lose his oldest son, who, you remember, he thought was so attractive. Even though he became serious and liked to read books, you know, the king was upset. That's his oldest son. Like, it's his son. But also there's like the whole king heir to the throne reason. So Francis prayed after his son died. God, you have afflicted me by humiliating my kingdom and my army. Now you have taken away my son. What else remains save to destroy me utterly? When it shall please you to do so, at least warn me that it is your will, so I do not rebel. Anyway, so they had the secretary. The secretary was blamed for it, etc. So he was subjected to the secretary, Montecuccioli. So lengthy, horrendous tortures, and then he eventually confessed, like people confess to lots of things after they've been horribly tortured. And he claimed that he had planned to murder the king, that he had done this for the Holy Roman Emperor as revenge. He later withdrew his confession, but he wanted to die with his conscience intact. Like, he didn't want to die with these lies on the punishment. He was executed pretty horribly. And that's just sort of like setting the stage for what's happening, because this is a pandemic special episode. There's going to be the whole point of the story I'm telling you today has to do with plague. So hang tight. So one of the other consequences of Francis Jr. dying is that Henry, who is the Duke of Orleans, became the heir to the throne. And the thing is that his father did not like him. He didn't like how he was so serious, had these like temper tantrums. The fact that the father didn't rescue him from being in jail for 3 years of basically being isolated with no one to talk to except for his brother. Like, when the boys came back, they didn't even speak French anymore. I think they only spoke Spanish because that's how their captors spoke to them. So he was like damaged from that. And he also didn't have the book here. The biography of Francis I mentions that Henry lacked even the little charm his brother had possessed. Tall, dark, and repressed, it was said he never laughed and seldom spoke. His mistress was the only person whom he regarded with anything approaching affection, and his father regarded him as a disappointment. So you remember there's the youngest son, Charles, was now second in line to the throne, and the king just liked him so much better. And the whole, I mean, this is largely, I think, because Charles was like not psychologically affected because he had not been trapped in jail in Spain for 3 years. So Charles was apparently the most handsome of the three sons, even though he had gone blind in one eye from smallpox. Apparently that was not noticeable, or if it was, it just made him look even more handsome. He was known for his wild antics, his practical jokes, his extravagance and frivolousness, which his father approved of wholeheartedly. So if you think about the king as a sort of guy who's just like, you know who my favorite son is? The jokester over there. Like, of course he's not going to like Henry, who's just like brooding all over the place, like Kylo Ren sort of person. Charles's wild antics include he once jumped up behind the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, like literally the person who had imprisoned his brothers for years, slash his father's sworn enemy, and Charles shouted, "You are my prisoner!" Apparently Charles V spurred his horse into a frantic gallop without once looking behind him. So he's just like a little goofball, but slash also kind of chaotic, shall we say. So there were Henry and Charles did not get along with each other very much. This was partially because Henry could tell that everybody liked Charles better because Charles was a jokester and friendly and more handsome and not like brooding all the time. And also his father liked Charles better. So it was widely believed that everybody wanted Charles to be the Dauphin instead of Henry. And 1542, Francis the King and Charles V, his longtime nemesis, again went to war against each other. Charles fought and captured Luxembourg. Henry was leading some commands as well. Luxembourg was lost and retaken several times. And I'm just going to kind of like, some behind-the-scenes stuff happened. Basically, as a result of some further treaties, was that so they were deciding on who Charles would marry. And as so this is part of the treaty between the king and the Holy Roman Emperor. It was like, okay, one of the terms of this was that Charles, the goofball youngest son, was going to marry a relative of the emperor to sort of like form an alliance between the two places so they would stop being at war with each other and that sort of stuff. And so as the groom's father, the king was expected by the treaty to endow his son with some certain territories, but this deeply offended Henry and Catherine de' Medici because, so the treaty, and I think this is sort of like Charles, the Roman emperor, just sort of like dicking around. He just put a thing in the treaty being like, you know, I want your son Charles to marry one of my relatives, and also I want you to give Charles all these titles and lands, because he knew that that would annoy Henry, because Henry was not good at, he had no poker face. So what would happen, anyways, the whole thing, like the marriage treaty was just sort of like good news for Charles, bad news for Henry. Can you hear my cat purring? She's just here to help. There's not cats in this story, Hepburn, but maybe one day I'll do a story with cats in it. So I'm just gonna like pivot over to reading some more from this Francis the First biography. So Henry was really mad about all of this. Francis, the king, had never made any secret of the preference he felt for his younger son, and Henry believed, with some justification, that the last years of his father's reign had seen him increasingly sidelined. He was also aware from whisperings at court that once the king died, Henry might potentially find himself facing an imperial slash Orleanist alliance. So he basically, there was the fear that Charles would, because of this marriage, he would ally with the Holy Roman Empire, and then they could maybe try and take down Henry. So France was just beginning to unite as a country after long, 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 long periods of factionalism, and this had the potential to revive a dangerous and divisive situation. So Henry, in December 1544, took the unusual step of making a formal complaint, saying, like, this treaty is not fair. He said that he didn't like this. He didn't like how it was going to maybe make Charles be more powerful than him, blah, blah, blah. So, like, it's documented that Henry was upset about all this. He was jealous about all of this. But then, so the rivalry between the two brothers was potentially dangerous, could potentially derail, like, everything that Francis had worked a really long time to get going in France. But then, and this is where we get to the pandemic of it all. So, in the autumn of 1545, Charles and Henry together were on their way to Bologna, which was under siege. On September the 6th, they came across a cluster of houses that had been emptied and sealed off from the, at the time they called it the plague, but it was probably a form of influenza. Like, it wasn't, people weren't getting the, like, pustules. It wasn't, like, a bubonic situation. It was more just, like, very contagious influenza-type thing. So they came across this area. If you listen to the last pandemic super special, you'll recall that Joan of England and her entourage came up to a city that was all, and the people in the city were like, leave, like, don't even come into this city. Like, there's plague here. Everyone's sick. Just, like, don't come by. So even in a pre-germ theory science world, people knew, like, if there was plague around, it's like, you steer clear. Like, this is just, like, common knowledge. So Henry and Charles came across a cluster of houses that had been emptied and sealed off from the plague, a.k.a. influenza. And then Charles said, quote, "No son of a king of France ever died of plague." And then he entered into the houses, laughing. He slashed at bedding with his sword and started a pillow fight with some of his traveling companions. He also allegedly laid down on one of the infected beds and rolled around on the bedding. So he's just like scampering through these like houses where everybody had died of influenza that had been like shuttered off because of like the gruesome death. And he was just like, LOL. So just like, I'm just picturing him like jumping bed to bed, like pillow fighting. Rolling around in these mattresses because he thought that because he was the son of the king of France that he couldn't get sick. And guess what? Later that evening, after dining with his father and brother, he took suddenly ill. What? Who saw that coming? He was suffering from pain, a high fever, vomiting, and shaking limbs. Henry rushed to be with him, but everybody kept him out of the room because they're like, oh shit, like we've lost, like if he's going to die too, like we need Henry to not die because otherwise there's going to be no sons to inherit all of France. But I think it's nice. It seems nice that Henry wanted to go and be with his brother because even though they were rivals and stuff, he's just like, well, I don't want him to literally die. But die he did. Charles died on September 9th, 1545. So he was aged 23. Some people thought he was poisoned because again, Catherine de' Medici is around. She is Italian and she likes to read about poisons. But I mean, some people thought he was poisoned because some people think everybody is poisoned. But he was seen, like he did this thing everybody saw where he was just like ran inside of these houses where people had been dying of influenza, rolled around on the mattresses, like had pillow fights. And so he's buried next to his father, and his brother is where he was buried. Francis died later. Henry became the king, Catherine de Medici became the queen, and a whole lot of other stuff happens. And we'll talk about that on some other podcast, but not on this podcast, because this podcast is just a super special to tell you the story of Charles II of Valois and how he died of a deadly influenza-tinged pillow fight. So I think the moral of that story is to not go into places that are infected with highly contagious diseases and have pillow fights in those places. So that's my advice for you today, really. And I hope you enjoyed that story. And there'll be more regular podcast episodes coming out soon. And take care. Be well. Talk to you later.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.